All right, I feel like we owe our listeners an explanation here, an update on the Father Max mystery limits.
Still waiting, right?
Father Max from St. Vincent blessed the end zone in which Tyler blooped at the end.
How many other scores were in that end zone, by the way? I'm trying to think of...
A couple of Ravens scores were definitely there.
Yeah.
Right? And the Steelers got stopped there, so it looked like it might be cursed for a while.
I don't know.
You got contacted by somebody at St. Vincent saying, yeah, we're listening. This is great. Let's make this happen. And
correct.
Then things have gone radio silent, haven't they?
Things have gone silent, and my concern level is rising by the moments, Bob.
Well,
maybe this isn't going to happen.
Do you think Father Max was calling a mass, Bob, or what's happening?
I don't know.
A mass?
Confessional booths. I don't know what they, who knows what's on their agenda. But
right.
Or maybe whoever called you, Austin, was double-checking with whoever's above him.
Possibly.
I don't know. He'll come on, I bet, at some point.
Yeah, and I think you're the guy to make it happen, Bob.
I agree.
Because you have connections everywhere. Steelers, St. Vincent. My God, you had Father Paul on speed dial.
By the way, the former archbishop there, Doug Nowicki, was a great man. And he passed away, was just awesome to deal with. But, they have a special relationship with the Steelers. That's where that training camp has been. I still like it that way. I think a lot of teams have gone away from that. I think it's a great thing.
So do I. It absolutely is. And that was a great thing last night. And hopefully that'll work out for us in the end, Limits.
That
would be a fun interview. In the meantime, Bob, your favorite segment is at hand here. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Okay, let's start with this decision, Bob. Mike Tomlin going for it at the end of the first half, knowing it's the last play of the half. He's down 10-3 at the time. I loved it. I loved the decision. I loved his mindset going into this game, and I said it before and after the play. Didn't love necessarily the play call. Didn't hate it as much as everybody else. I think it was designed for Gainwell to beat one guy. The guy made a great play. What did you think of the decision? Not the play call, the decision.
I would have taken a 3. I said that at the time when we were up there watching this game. I just thought the way the game had played out to that point, it was going to be a tough, low-scoring, typical Steeler game with Baltimore, so those 3 points could have been significant. And at the end, that whole drama may never have occurred had they got the 3 points there, because then it would have been a 5-point game or whatever the case may be. So that's fine. You can go for it. I think, as I told you earlier, Joe, if the PI wasn't called before that and put the ball at the 1-yard line, they may have kicked the field goal because it would have been a lot more distance to cover.
Certainly would have, yes.
So it actually worked for the Ravens because they put the Steelers in a position where they wanted to gamble with that call and they didn't get it. So I understand why they did it. It's a 50-50 call. I would have taken the points.
Fair enough. Okay. How about the first time that Tomlin went for it with the brotherly shove in his own territory after the Ravens got a fourth down on their touch? Well, they scored a touchdown on fourth down. What did you think of that call by Tomlin? I like that, too.
I like that, too. I like that one because I thought that play has been highly successful for them, and Cam Hayward's pushing his brother. I just thought it was a good play by Baltimore not to relinquish the yards.
Well, it looks like Cam kind of mistimed that first one. He certainly came through on the second one and pushed his brother into the end zone. The first one, it looked like he tackled him from behind and pushed him into the ground practically.
It's a lot of weight falling on your brother.
What about the decision to use Cam in that capacity? I'm all for it.
I am too. I mean, if, Darnell Washington's not available for them and they need somebody big in there, I would also consider Y.A. Black a candidate for that role if they ever wanted to put someone else there, because he's a big dude who's got the thickest legs I think I've seen since Eric Green. So I have no problem with that call. It didn't work.
Okay. How about the – which call am I thinking of here? The call on Ronnie Stanley on the Ravens' final drive when he was called for not being lined up properly. Seemed a little cheap to me, Bob, and they mentioned it on the broadcast that you wouldn't always see that.
I agree. I thought that was kind of a generous call for the Steelers at that point, and it forced Baltimore into actually throwing down the field, which worked to their advantage. I don't know they would have done that on fourth and short. They may have a different play call.
Not long after the winning kick, the internet and social media lit up with Skowronek seemingly using leverage, using Ravens players as he leapt over the line. And of course, everybody thinks of that now because the Ravens got called for that in Baltimore, erroneously, the NFL later admitted,
right,
and lost that game partially on account of that. Should this have been called on Skowronek in this instance,
no,
Bob?
I just, at this level of a game where so much on the line, I don't want the officials, unless it's blatant, and I don't think that was blatant, I don't want to see a call like that. Do you?
Wonder Twin? No, at first I thought, you know what? Because it got called, but then I hated the call in Baltimore, so why would I like this one?
Unless so egregiously and infects.
Now, if he catapults him off two guys and blocks the kick, we have a different story. Right. But no, you don't call that.
No, I thought that first play, the thing on that they called a penalty on the 41-yard Henry run, first play, they called
terrible call
there. There was no reason to make that call.
And then from the Steelers' side, I thought there were a couple of interferences that happened that weren't called. Would you agree?
Yes.
To their receivers.
Yes.
Now I'm trying to think of which one in particular. Was it? The one on Freiermuth was called.
Yeah, that had to be called. He was all over him in the back of the end zone.
There was one on Thielen or Miller. I get confused between
the two. I think
it was Thielen. That should have been called.
Thielen came up and he was pretty animated that it should have been called.
Yes.
But again, that's one of those things that if you want to, you can call it on every single play. There's a lot of contact. You got to give the defensive guy some leeway, generally speaking.
I agree with that. How about the decision really defensively to stop the run at all costs, especially in those fourth down situations that led to touchdowns? Do you blame the Steelers for their strategy there?
No, Bob? Because I think everyone talked about Derrick Henry coming in. He was the guy to stop. And really, that 120 yards he got, that's a little deceiving because it was essentially two big runs. The rest of the day, you know, they never got up to the handoff total that they wanted, I'm sure. They wanted to be more like last week in Green Bay where they were dictating. You know, the Steelers wanted to take that element away. I give them credit for that. Does that explain why they had so many breakdowns in the secondary? No. It shouldn't be that wide open. But, yeah, I agree generally with that whole mindset.
You know what else we'd be talking about right now? If the Ravens had never gotten into field goal position, was that scramble by Lamar on the final series where he either could have run, but he chose to throw to DeAndre Hopkins, who just stood there.
Man.
Was that amazing or what?
If he kept going, I think that would have been a touchdown or at least close to one, right?
Might have been. I mean, he had the whole left side open there. Just incredible stuff happening left and right. There's almost too much to talk about. Limits, any one of those topics? Tickle your fancy?
Well, yeah, I agree with you that all the fourth downs, I was completely good with going for it. I understand kicking the points, Bob, at the end of the half, but when you have it at the 1 yard line, I felt like they should have just went right back to the tush push play. It was a terrible decision to toss it out to Gainwell in that situation, especially with what the look was like at the line.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were afraid to run that tush push play again because of how it failed on fourth and one earlier in the half. And that's why they didn't run it at the goal line where they should have.
I fully expected that play also. And, you know, play calls are like they are. Whether they work or not. If they work, they're great. If they don't, they're not. It's just you got to make a choice. And their choice was to go with Gainwell, who I don't have a problem with Gainwell being the man they chose to do it because he has shown the ability down there to score on those sort of situations. But there was a blocking mistake there that led to that.
Yeah, and the Skowronek thing. If you're trying to clear the line, you obviously have to put your hands in a position where you get some type of, you know how like when you do a box jump, you move your hands back and then move them forward whenever you jump. I don't feel like he pushed off. And if it was that egregious, then yeah, you call it. But there was not like a huge shove off of the line. He immediately was blocked as soon as he did that too. Immediately pushed back.
Sunny today with a high of 44, Najee Davenport, a low of 22, big play gay. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bob, as you and Mulsey and Pony were talking about this last night, what kind of feedback were you guys getting from people? Just pure giddiness?
A lot of that. A lot of people thought it was lucky. You know, I mean, there's always luck involved.
It was,
If you don't have luck sometimes, you win games based on that. Field goal, yeah, they could have lost that game at a whole different talking point.
Should the Ravens have tried to get a little closer on one last play?
I thought so. They had a timeout. They could have done that just to make it a little easier. It is a rookie kicker, after all, and you can say what you want about how perfect he was, which he was all season in that distance. there's a whole different game involved when you have this on the line your entire season. And I think it showed in his – you know how it is in golf, Joe. I keep going back every time.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Everything comes down to one shot, and it's you out there by yourself, and you have to execute it.
I think we can all relate, everybody listening, certainly us, on any level, whether it's free throws in a basketball game, you know, compared to in practice – or even in a meaningless game, when the pressure ratchets up, everything becomes different. Anybody who golfs out there, it's different just from the range to trying to hit a normal shot when you're playing for keeps and you only get one chance at it. Let alone now take that and put millions of people watching on television and everything else. It changes everything. Pressure changes everything, doesn't it?
Oh, no question. You have that ice in your veins, you can do it, and you're not going to be and the great ones do. The great ones know how to, really thrive in those situations. But if you've never been through it, and that kicker has never been through anything like that, never. I don't care how many kicks he's made at Arizona, you're not going to have the entire season come down to your kick. And as much as you want to keep that out of your head, you know it's there. And so you've got to figure out now, this could make or break that guy. You know, he can come back from that. A lot of kickers miss kicks. What does it do for you moving forward? In his situation now, he won't get another chance for almost a year.
He may never get another chance. He was the only guy ever to be in that position. Didn't you say that earlier, right? Limits, with that tweet? What did that tweet say?
Yeah, it was the first time ever. Let me make sure I get the number completely right, but it was the first time in like 60,000 kicks, field goals like of all time, where somebody was in that position, game on the line, to win it or go home, and he missed.
For a division title in the final game of a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bob, now we sit in the AFC, where I think there's three Hall of Fame quarterbacks who may never win. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, who may never win a Super Bowl. Burrow's team stinks, and his franchise stinks. Lamar has now had a bunch of cracks at the can here, and how many more do you get? And the same with Josh. Josh Allen's had the best team before, like multiple times, and now he's got to go on the road where he's never won a playoff game and win three in a row on the road, probably, just to get to the Super Bowl. Wow. I mean, now all of a sudden these guys are no longer, just breaking into the league.
Well, tell me who you think is farthest away with those three guys. Because
Burrow.
I would agree. Burrow, because they have a lot of work to do in Cincinnati, and they just came out and announced that Zach Taylor and Director of Player Personnel Duke Tobin are both back next year. Pete Carroll has been fired.
Saw that. Yeah.
So, but I think, this is Josh Allen's opportunity. And if there is one person I would be willing to bet on who can get it done and will a team to a win, it would be him.
I think they're just not good enough to win three in a row, let alone four in a row in the Super Bowl.
How do you know unless you see it with this opportunity?
But they're not good enough defensively.
All right, let me play this out. You think that they'll beat Jacksonville?
I do.
I don't.
Well, there you go. Then they'll be one and done.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying there's a 51% chance.
It's close. But if so, they'll come to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And you think the Steelers will beat them this
time? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do, actually.
But I think in all those situations, he is the best of the remaining quarterbacks in the AFC.
So
believe that's the most important position, he can make things happen.
That would also mean that the Chargers would go to New England and win.
Yes.
That's what you're assuming, Joe? Okay.
Yeah. Not necessarily. I still have to make all my picks. I'm just saying that's a plausible scenario.
Right, but if the Chargers lose, that means the Steelers would have to go to New England,
yes,
and Buffalo would go to Denver.
Right.
You like that scenario better for the Steelers?
I don't know, Bob. I haven't thought about it enough. What's the scenario now? I'm just picking them to beat Houston.
In Denver or in New England, if you had to make that choice, if it came down to the seedings.
Wow. Probably. I'll take the lesser quarterback every time, and I'm a Bo Nix fan, but I'd rather go to Denver. I'd rather face Bo Nix than Drake May.
Okay.
You?
I would rather go to New England.
Okay.
Because I think their defense is not as good as Denver's. I think the Steelers can do something against it. And as much as Drake May could be the MVP of the league. Bo Nix, when he plays at home, has a tremendous stat line. He's very good, especially in the fourth quarter of games where he needs to make. It's a tough choice.
We're getting ready for a Panther-Steelers Super Bowl, aren't we, Bob?
Can you imagine? How about the ultimate way of backing in? They lose the head-to-head game.
They're a 10.5-point underdog.
But here's the thing. They beat the Rams earlier this year.
I know.
They beat them head-to-head.
In Carolina.
How much does that matter?
It doesn't. The Rams are going to destroy them.
But it's in Carolina again.
I know.
Do you like the fact that 8 and 9 teams get a home playoff game?
No, I don't think they should get
one.
What
do you think they should do to change it then?
Just go by record. No.
Then you diminish the division.
The division... Division winners should have a home playoff game. They should. Except if you have a losing record, then you got to switch
it. So the 5 team hosts the 4 team.
Yes.
Then.
Yep. Losing record, you don't get it.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree?
I still like putting emphasis on winning the division, and if so, you get a home playoff game. All division winners do.
How about you, Mr. P?
No, you can't just have that strange caveat of, "Oh, well, if you don't If you're 9-8 compared to 8-9, but you still win your division, it makes that big of a difference on if you host a home playoff game or not." No. You win your division, you host a home playoff game.
Thank you, Limits.
Thank you, Joe.
Coming up, Bob, let's take a little trip around the league, why don't we?
Yes, we do, boy.
Kevin Stefanski fired.
There are a lot of firings.
Take a look at the playoff games. It's going to be, I think it's the best sports weekend of the entire year, and that includes the NCAA tournament. I think it's the greatest sports weekend is the wild card round.
No question.
Of the
NFL people
playoffs.
Go to Vegas all the time just to sit in those casinos and watch game after game after game after game.
This is incrinculant.
It is. It's you know, there's some really good times of the year, but this may be one of the better ones.
And we get the college football playoff semifinals.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could be sitting there all and Monday just watching games all 5 days. Be as unproductive as you could possibly be.
Drew Aller's not in it, Limits.
No. Who was your big quarterback? Jackson Dart. Is he around the playoffs?
Hey, Jackson Dart had a hell of a first season.
He had a hell of a first season.
He really
season.
Did. He started 12 games in his numbers.
23 combined touchdowns with no weapons.
9 rushing touchdowns. Absolutely. I think there's a lot to like there with that.
Thank you, Bob.